You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Our sermon text for tonight is from Genesis 18. This is the Old Testament lectionary reading for today. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourself. And after that you may pass on. Since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three seas of fine flour, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared, and he set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is your wife Sarah? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, No, but you did laugh. The word of the Lord. Mighty Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, pray that we would see and hear, know and trust, love, worship, and glorify your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen. I, like the next person, enjoy a good light reading, super girly romantic comedy movie. One rom-com that I basically enjoy is 27 Dresses, starring Katherine Heigl. The premise is that Heigl's character, Jane, is a great friend that everybody sees as their go-to maid of honor or bridesmaid. She has been in 27 different weddings. She has a diversity of dresses to show for it. Well, things change when her sister gets engaged to the guy that she has secretly had a crush on for a long time. And it causes her to have this season of introspection. Why she has enjoyed being a bridesmaid and supporting her friends, the disappointment that she has experienced with it not being her wedding has started to accumulate. And you can probably guess where this movie goes, because all romantic comedies go to the same exact place. Now, along these lines, but in a much more serious and painful level, I had a woman once tell me that the most painful routine thing in her life was driving away from weddings. She had been single her whole life. She had wanted to be married for a long time. And she loved to go to weddings to celebrate her friends. But she said that driving away from a wedding was a painful reminder for her. It was a reminder of despair that she experienced in the area of dating and marriage. A reminder of dating relationships that had ended in breakups or setups that were a total bust. A reminder of promising first dates that did not result in a follow-up phone call or text message. And a reminder of years and years of chronic heartbreaking disappointment. Chronic heartbreaking disappointment. That well describes the story of the life of Sarah that we see portrayed in the book of Genesis. And in Genesis 18, we see these years of heartbreaking disappointment bubble up to the surface. when the Lord tells elderly Abraham that he will have a son in the next year, and that his postmenopausal wife, Sarah, overhears the declaration, she laughs. She basically snickers at the idea that she's going to have a child. And what appears to be irreverence or faithlessness, and there is an element of that in there, is also evidence of years and years of painful, chronic disappointment for Sarah. When you hear the phrase chronic, heartbreaking disappointment, my guess is that for most of you, for me, it hits a tender place in your heart. In your short life, it could be that your dream has been to be on the golf team or to be a cheerleader, and you have tried out every year and you make it to the final round and then you're cut at the very end. Could be in your long life that you've had a harsh mom or a harsh dad that you always hoped would soften, but 40 to 50 years later, every time they offer a critical or belittling word to you, it turns the knife that your parent is not the person that you hoped that they would be. So given the universal nature of chronic disappointment, today I'd like to talk about how we trust the Lord with the painful letdowns in life. Abraham does not have perfect faith. There are two people, Hagar and Ishmael, who can attest to that. But Scripture does tell us, and this story does confirm, that Abraham trusted the promise that God made to him that he would have a son. He was able to hopefully trust the Lord amidst the painful disappointments of life. So today I want to look at first this story in Genesis 18, and then look at two factors that enable Abraham to trust the Lord. Those two factors are that Abraham had a personal relationship with the Lord, and that Abraham related to and trusted God according to his word. So first, this story. Genesis 18, the Lord comes to Abraham with two angels, and all three are in the appearance of human beings. Abraham knows that God has come to visit. He addresses him as Adonai, which is a Hebrew word, a name for God that means my Lord. So he and Sarah prepare a lavish meal for the Lord. And on three previous occasions, God had promised Abraham that he will have descendants who will be his own flesh and blood. But at the end of this meal in Genesis 18, God reveals in very specific and concrete terms that Abraham and Sarah, who are both elderly, that they will, in fact, conceive a child within the next 12 months. Sarah, however, is not buying what God is selling. I love the movie Beautiful Boy. It portrays the struggle of a father, played by Steve Carell, who is trying to love a son who is addicted to drugs. And the painful reality that you see portrayed in the movie Beautiful Boy is consistent with the life experience of the parents of addicts. Parents hope that their child will stay clean and sober. They hope that their child will flourish. And they have moments of promise. And then will come a relapse. And the parent enters back into this cycle of heartbreak over and over again. A cycle of heartbreak would accurately describe the life of Sarah. For women in the ancient world, having a child, more specifically having a son, contained so much meaning and security. A child validated the worth and the function of a woman in ancient society. A son would provide for and protect his mother in her old age. Now, on the flip side, to not have a child was a mark of social shame. It also created a sense of vulnerability and a sense of vulnerability for the future. So certainly when Sarah was younger and she and Abraham were first married, there was some level, some presence of excitement and expectation that they would one day have children. Then after years of infertility, surely anxiety started to creep into the situation. And now every single month would take on this dynamic of maybe this is the month. Hope would rise, and then Sarah would be crushed over and over again. And this would go on for decades for Sarah. So when Sarah scoffs at the idea that she and Abraham would have a child, it makes a lot of sense. Not only are there biological realities, that Sarah physically cannot have a child, and that she and Abraham are no longer sleeping together, there is also years and years of emotional baggage for Sarah from all the disappointment. So on the other hand, we have Abraham's response. Romans 4 tells us that Abraham took God at his word relative to the promise that they would have biological children. I don't want to create this dichotomy where we say, oh, Abraham is good and Sarah is bad, and this is the example, and Sarah is not the way to go, because that's just not very fair to Sarah. They had very different experiences in the infertility. They were in different places in their relationship with the Lord. So we need to be really, we don't need to judge Sarah. We need to be compassionate towards her situation. Simultaneously, while the nature and level of Abraham's disappointment would have been different than that of Sarah's, Abraham still experienced much anguish with not having children. And yet he was able to hopefully trust in the Lord. So what helped Abraham? What can we glean from the story? So I'd point to two things. And the first is that Abraham had an intimate, personal relationship with God. When God and the angels came, Abraham was eager to serve them. Verses 6 and 7, he went quickly into the tent. He told Sarah, quick, make cakes. He ran to get a calf for dinner. It is prepared quickly. There was a sense of urgency in his response. Furthermore, not only did he serve them his best food, he stood beside them like a servant while they ate. And all of this conveyed that these were people of high esteem and of great honor. He responded to them this way because he knew who the visitors were. Multiple times in Abraham's life, he had heard the voice of God. He had many conversations with the Lord. And so when God promised against all supernatural or all natural explanation that Sarah would have a baby, Abraham believed him because he knew that he was talking to Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. One time I was involved in a situation in a school where a principal had to make a very controversial and divisive decision. He was the only one who could make the decision. And all of the shareholders around the situation were very, very anxious. And when that happens, you can predict that people were trying to influence the decision. And there was just madness. People were so nervous about what was going to happen. But I myself was not worried. And the reason I was not worried is because I had known the principal for more than half of my life. He had cared for me well. We'd had personal conversations where he talked to me about his insecurities and his sin and his need for the gospel and his love for Christ. I had observed him act with wisdom and maturity and love time and time again. It's the only way I'd ever seen him operate. So as this decision was nearing, I was not worried because I could say, I know this person. I can trust him. Well, the best thing that you can do to cope with chronic disappointment is to draw close to Jesus day by day. Sit before him, pray, read scripture, lament to him, pour out your heart to him, listen to him. The challenge of chronic disappointment is that over time you start to wonder whether or not God is for you or against you. It starts to feel like God is against you when things are continually not going your way. But when you are close to Jesus, you remember who he is, and you remember what he has done for us on the cross. And you can face these situations saying, I know this person. I can trust him. So Abraham knew God personally, but he also trusted God according to how the Lord had revealed himself. And that takes us to our second point, trusting God according to his word. I had a Christian mentor who once defined faith as a proper response to God's revealed word. God had verbally spoken to Abraham on three previous occasions that we can observe in Genesis 12, 15, and 17. And on all these occasions, he had promised Abraham that he would have children. It wasn't always easy for Abraham to believe in God's word. In Genesis 15, Abraham says, God, how is this going to happen? I do not have any children. But the Lord would reveal himself both verbally and non-verbally to Abraham. He would reveal himself both in word and in action. In Genesis 15, what he does that kind of gets Abraham over the top is he reveals himself in the form of fire and makes a promise with Abraham. So we can see in Genesis 18 that God first reveals himself to Abraham non-verbally through action. The meal that God and the two angels enjoy before Abraham was in the format of a covenant celebration meal. In the ancient Near East, when an agreement had been made and when it was about to come to completion, they would have a ceremonial meal to signify the fulfillment of the promise. And in this meal, God is communicating through action that he is about to materially satisfy the promise that he had made to Abraham over these years. And Abraham receives both his verbal and non-verbal communication with faith. He joyfully expects the arrival of a son. But Abraham is not the only person to whom God is revealing himself in this story. Yes, Sarah does scoff when God says that they will have a child. And yes, God does rebuke her for laughing at the promise. And when he says, "Did Sarah laugh?" and she responds, "No," and he responds, "No, but you did laugh." But he's doing something more here. He is revealing to Sarah who he is. He's revealing to Sarah that he is omniscient. And not only is it, it's not an omniscience of he knows all the facts, it's an omniscience that's personal. He knows Sarah. He knows her heart. He knows her thoughts. He knows her story. And so in verse 15, when it says that Sarah was afraid, this fear is functioning on two levels. On one hand, Sarah is afraid. She is talking to a person who can read her mind. That's a little terrifying. But on top of that, she is becoming aware that God is real. The Lord is bringing Sarah into the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom and is the beginning of personal trust in the Lord, this recognition that God is God and that we are limited, sinful human beings whose only hope is our confidence in the Lord Christ. So when we experience chronic disappointment, there is a high risk that we will start to define the character of God based on our circumstances and based on those disappointments. There's no person, when you look at the circumstances of life and look at the world around you, who is going to come back and believe that God is good. And so we have to go to God's word. We have to go to Scripture. We have to look at the cross, where God has revealed truly who he is. And when we go to God's word and when we look at the cross, we are reminded over and over again that God is good, that he is loving, that he is pure, and that we can absolutely trust him. Now, in closing, you may be thinking, well, this is all great, but God related to Abraham in a way that is very, very unique, that he has not related to me. He has not come and sat down at my table and dined with me. I've never had an encounter like this with God. Abraham had advantages. It's just not that easy. Well, here's some good news. God has actually come for you in this way. He came for you when he put on flesh in the incarnation. He came for you in the person of Jesus Christ. He established a ceremonial covenant meal to seal your salvation when he instituted the Last Supper and then when he went to the cross. He reveals himself to us every day in Scripture. He comes and he dines with us through the Holy Spirit every time we take communion. And through the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ comes and he sits with you and he laments with you when your heart is broken and when you cry. So when you draw close to Jesus and trust him according to his word, God can comfort, heal, and sustain us amidst the chronic disappointments of life. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that you would glorify yourself in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.